truth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. An official for one Alabama county, just east of Mobile Bay, says that they have sustained tremendous damage there from Hurricane Sally. National Weather Service forecaster Brian Hurley says the remnants of Sally could bring devastation to several states with up to 8 inches of rain in some places.
Some of the cities impacted by these rains that could, you know, that would include Raleigh, that would include Greensboro, Richmond area, Charlotte would be under that bullseye, if you will.
Trees and power lines said it'd be down throughout Baldwin County. That's one of Alabama's largest, with some 225,000 people. California Governor Gavin Newsom says at least 25 people have died in the recent wildfires, including 15 in the North Complex fire. That's one burning northeast of San Francisco.
I just want to express our deepest condolences to the families that have lost loved ones and to the heroism of our first responders that have been out there doing their best to support evacuation efforts.
Meantime, the smoke from dozens of fires burning in western states stretching clear across the country, even pushing into Mexico, Canada, and Europe. The House Minority Leader is encouraging Republicans to vote absentee or in person, but not both. Here's correspondent Bernie Bennett.
News media outlets are reporting that President Trump is encouraging supporters to vote by mail, then show up at the polls to be sure their mail-in ballot was counted. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy clarified the strategy in a Capitol Hill news conference.
Look, I want Republicans to vote by mail and they're absentee. I want them to go to the polls. Not do both. Do one or the other. Make sure you get your vote in.
Voting twice is illegal in all 50 states. Republicans are encouraging supporters to be sure their vote is counted if they decide to vote absentee, but not vote by two separate methods. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
It's been slow going on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average right now down by 224 points. The NASDAQ is down by 194. This is SRN News.
For your Thursday afternoon, mostly cloudy and windy with some showers, maybe some thunderstorms, high 88. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low 72. Friday, partly sunny with a high 87. Friday night, more clouds, expect a low 69. And Saturday, we'll start the weekend mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and possible thunderstorms, high 82.
Everybody buckle up.
Mom.
Buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store?
Mom,
buckle
can we
up.
Get some ice cream?
Mom. Everybody, buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but you're in control. So only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. This is Doug McCary. It is Thursday, September 17th. Hard to believe it's already middle of September and almost the end of 2020. Man, we are just cooking through this year. I'm so glad you're joining us today. And we are on Guest Thursday. If you're just tuning in to SWAT Radio, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And we have a warrior in here today. I've known this young man. I call him a young man. He's young to me, but he's not really young anymore. He's got four kids, he said, and continuing to enlarge the kingdom through creation, like right, having
exactly.
Babies. But Trey Brunson is no stranger to this city. Trey has served here on staff down at First Baptist Church. His dad, of course, Mac Brunson. And I remember when I first moved back here from being in Texas, I got connected with Trey. And my son went out to DBU, which where yeah. Trey went. And, you know, there was just a lot of commonality there. And I was mentored by a guy named Steve Farrar that I know Trey had a special heart for. And another guy, Tommy Nelson, too,
yes.
that Trey knows. And so I'm just so glad, Trey, that God brought you back here for me personally, just to connect again.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back to Jacksonville and accepting that job. You are the multi-site pastor at the Church of 1122.
Yeah, I am.
And still figuring out what that means.
Yeah. Well, and you know, what's funny is you actually came to a little smaller church, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you were up at Southeast, which people think 1122 is huge with the multi-site campus, but Southeast Christian, I have friends that go up there. Did you ever meet Tom Reed?
Yeah.
My buddy, the hairier guy?
Brad DeVries. I was trying to think. I talked to him multiple times.
He was an elder up there. And so we all flew Harriers together. Tom and Patty just went to Israel with us in January this past year. Gosh, doesn't January seem like so long ago?
It doesn't. When you just said we're almost at the end of 2020, I thought, oh my goodness, I cannot believe another year is almost over.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just getting older.
Yeah, you know? I think so. Well, the last time I saw you, we were eating wings in a restaurant up in Louisville.
Yeah.
And we were up there visiting Tom and Patty, got connected with Greg Gilbert. Did you get to spend much time with him up there?
My sister used to work with Greg when he was Dr. Moeller's assistant. So I've known Greg before he was Dr. Gilbert.
Yeah,
so.
He's a great guy, too. Well, he's been our guest, too, thanks to you. You know, one of the things that I was talking to a guy earlier today about is you are a connector.
Yeah.
God has given you a gift to be able to connect dots between needs and people that can meet those needs. And it isn't that a great feeling when you see stuff like that happen?
Yeah, there are times when someone will ask for something and I'll think, there's no way this is going to work. I had a buddy, Scott Dawson is an evangelist, does a huge youth conference in Pigeon Forge in the end of December and then a second week, first
strength to stand, right?
Yeah, strength to stand.
Yeah.
So he called me last fall and said, hey, he had John Crist was going to be one of his headliners. And
the comedian from Facebook, right?
The comedian, yeah. And with everything John was going through, he had to find someone to replace him. And he said,
just real quick, a lot of people may not know him by name,
but
there's a guy who does all sorts of satirical comedy sketches about church.
Yes.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, one of the funniest.
He was a Christian comedian who was a Christian, but John went through some struggles.
Yeah.
He had some poor choices like everybody does because we're all broken. Yeah. And he had to step off that tour, right?
Yeah.
And so tell us what happened.
Canceled his tour, and I think he had a Netflix special and a book deal, and he just paused. And I appreciate when Christians say, I have things in my life I need to address. I'm going to pause. I mean, I don't have a Netflix special and I don't have a book coming out anytime. To pause those things, that had to cost him a lot in order to address things in his heart. I appreciated that, but it led to Scott saying, hey, I need a headliner. Will you call Tim Tebow? Well, the same weekend he needed, that guy was the exact same weekend Tim was getting married in South Africa. Tim said if he could do it any other weekend, I would help. So I just called Scott back, and you know, this is where that connect your heart is. I said, Scott, if you could have anyone in the world come, who would you ask? And he said, well, you know, I've got all these kids coming. I want Justin Bieber or Kanye West.
He said that?
No small order, right? I said, give me 24 hours. When I moved out to California, one of the first places I went, I had friends that said, you need to go visit this church, Placerita Bible. You ever been there?
Yeah, out in California?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's next to Master's University.
It's out in Santa Clarita, isn't it? Out there, but
So I went, I met Adam Tyson, who's the pastor there. I met Brad Silverman, which eventually we would edit Run the Race, the movie I produced.
I remember that name.
At Kappa Studios that Brad owns. I mean, I just met all these people that God would use in my life at a barbecue they had. I knew that Adam was the one who had led Kanye to the Lord, so I called Adam and said, hey, crazy request. Any chance Kanye would consider doing a student retreat in Pigeon Forge? He said, I don't know. I'll be with him tonight. Let me ask. He was able to connect Kanye with Scott, and he came up, and there were 19,000 kids at this event in Pigeon Forge last January where Kanye did one of his Sunday services. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. The level of humility that Kanye West had there, it clued me in that what God is doing in this guy is legitimate. It's not just hype. He's not just, you know, people accuse Trump of playing against Christians. That's not what's happening here. He is legitimately seeking the Lord. It's a guy you should pray for.
Yeah.
He told Scott when they got on a phone call, pray for me because the people I'm ministering to are the Kardashians.
Wow.
Would you please pray for me? Pray for me that I grow. I have areas I'm struggling in. There are things that are hard for me. It was insane. And Scott told me, he said, you know, there was a guy a while back that someone said, man, I really wish Elvis would do this event. Elvis didn't do anything. He didn't know that. He just called and said, hey, Elvis, any chance you'd do this thing? And Elvis said, yes. Everybody wondered, how'd you get Elvis here? He just asked. I really believe that if the Lord is in it, you don't have to force doors open. You don't even have to necessarily be connected. He'll take care of it.
Well, no, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, I think I'll share a story with you real quick. And I know you can relate because I think you got to do the same thing with Packer. I was over in Amsterdam for Amsterdam 2000. And, you know, I'm looking around this room. I'm there. I don't know a lot of people there. Yeah. Leighton Ford, one of my mentors, was there, but he was busy doing something. And so it was lunchtime. And I wasn't really with anybody. And I look over there, sitting at a table by himself, is John Stott. And I go over and I just say, wow, Dr. Stott, my name's Doug McCary, and I'm from the U.S. over in, at the time, I think I was in Texas, maybe. I was in Texas. And I said, can I just grab a few minutes with you?
Yeah.
And he said, sure. Are you going to eat or you just want to talk? And I said, well, I'd come to eat, but I'd rather talk with you and really have you talk. I don't want to talk. I just want to come and kind of spend a few minutes with you. And he said, sit down. We talk for an hour.
Yeah.
He gave me an hour and there was nobody else went up. There was all these people sitting around him, but nobody asked him. And you're right. A lot of times it's just asking.
Yeah.
And we get guests on the program here a lot of times. I just call people and ask them to be on.
Yeah.
And they're like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Because I think we fall much under the celebrity thing with people and we're afraid to ask and we forget that the greatest celebrity of all is God, and he knows and he moves people the way he wants to.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe some of it's a gift. You know, Paul doesn't list connecting as a spiritual gift, but I believe it is. I think some of it's faith.
Yeah.
And I think when I moved out to California, God did so much to grow my faith.
Mm-hmm.
There were scenarios. I have a good friend who his parents live on the north side here in town. John Harrett's known by like almost half of Jacksonville seems to know John Harrett. John moved out to Burbank when we moved out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought this RV with his two giant dogs. And, you know, he gets out there and he parks in the parking lot across the street from our apartment. And on the way driving this RV, and there's no way this RV should have made it, first of all.
Yeah.
But he makes it out there and the generator died like the day before he got out there. And he got out there in August. He's got these dogs living in this thing. And I'm just thinking these dogs are going to die. Or John's going to have a stroke. And then I got to tell his parents. And he said, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm thinking, I don't have money. I mean, I just moved to plant a church. I have no money, but I can't let my friend die. And I said, I don't even know where to get a generator. And he said, well, let's go to Home Depot. The cheapest one was $500. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, how do I tell Rachel I spent $500 on a generator, the money that we don't have, but how do I let my friend potentially die or his dogs die? So I just put it on the credit card. We go back, we get it in the RV. I'm walking back across the street trying to figure out how I'm going to tell my wife. You know how this is. You spent money you know you're not supposed to spend. I walk up to our mailbox, open it. Inside our mailbox is a letter from some friends of ours from Jacksonville. They had bought a used Expedition a few years earlier and sold it and made $521.49. With tax was almost to the penny, the exact same amount that I had just paid for that generator. Like, God just did so many things like that to increase my faith that when it's like, hey, should we ask this person to do this thing? Well, if he's not supposed to do it, he won't do it. And if he is, then nothing's going to happen that'll stop it.
Yeah, that's one of the most important principles, I think, as you serve in ministry, you realize if a connection closes and you're seeking God's will, you should be happy it's closing if it closes, because he knows what he wants to do. But a lot of times we allow our personal plans to go over God's plans. Yeah. Anyway, we got to go to our first break. Hey, you're listening to His Light, Doug McCary from His Light. I got a little confused there because I'm not usually used to doing this. Taylor does this. Anyway, you're listening to SWAT Radio, and we're going to be back with Trey Brunson. And Trey is the multi-site pastor at 1122. He's also an author. And when we come back, we're going to talk about his book on manhood. when we come back in just a minute on SWAT Radio. Stay tuned.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary. That was Rescuer. Man, I love that song. It's great to have a rescuer. This morning, Trey, I taught on Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 39, specifically the fourth warning there about apostates.
Yeah.
I want to get into your book, but one of the things that was really troubling to me a couple of weeks ago, I was in Louisiana speaking. And as I was speaking over there, they have all these pictures of guys on the wall that have spoken there. My picture's on there. I've spoken there before at this particular gathering. Mm-hmm. One of the guys was a PK guy. And unfortunately...
My people.
Yeah. 25 years in ministry, this guy threw away on prostitutes.
Oh, man.
And he spoke there just a couple of years ago. So this was going on while he's doing it. And I was talking this morning about Bron Clifford and Chuck Templeton, that if you've been in ministry in any length of time, you know most people that listen don't know about those guys.
Yeah.
But those two guys were contemporaries with Billy that went off the radar because they were apostates, or at least perceived apostates.
Yeah.
As a guy, you did the pastor's conference here year after year after year for many years.
13 years, man.
Where you would invite speakers in, you would see people, you know, because we were talking about John Chris struggling. And there are a lot of people, and Steve Farrar told me this a long time ago. He said, good speakers are a dime a dozen in the Christian community.
Yeah.
People that burn for Jesus.
Yeah.
When they burn for Jesus, they're hard to find.
Yeah.
And he said, people who burn for Jesus don't burn out because it's the Holy Spirit in them.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, have you seen that increasing? Because I know you were at Southeast, you deal a lot up there, and you were by the seminary. I feel like that's happening more and more. And I don't know if it's social media related or if it's just more exposed. What you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, what's funny is Bron Clifford and Chuck Templeton, those were the opening chapters of Farrar's book.
Wasn't it? Was it Point Man? Was it Point Man, Anchor?
Both of us know him and love him.
No, I know, but he's got so many books, I can't ever get them.
Yeah.
If it's Point Man, Point Man's his most famous, or not famous, but it's most read book.
Yeah.
But he did another one about Daniel, and I can't remember what that one's called, but he used that in there. I've forgotten he did that.
Yeah, and that's where I had first read this. I knew the Chuck Templeton story, but I did not know Bron Clifford. That's not a name that anybody seems to know anymore.
No.
I was blown away by these two guys were crushing it in ministry and were like heads and shoulders above Billy Graham. And then because of alcoholism in Bron's life.
Yeah.
And Chuck Templeton's life.
He just became an atheist.
Yeah.
Chuck the faith.
How do we know? I mean, I remember Billy Graham in a video saying him asking, how can you know for sure? You know, I think it was a different stress then. It may be social media. And the answer is, there's so many names that are coming to mind right now and so many stories that are just sad, whether they're people walking away apostate or it threw me for a loop when Jared Wilson took his life. You know, this guy
who has
a ministry to people who struggle with depression and are thinking about taking their lives, the guy who's running the ministry for it. I just think that people are disconnected from actual community. So it's one thing to have a Bible, to read it, to know it. You cannot be faithful if you're disconnected from community. God's designed us to be in life with other people. And I think social media has given us a fake version of that. So to your point, I think social media, maybe it's pressure from social media, but I think so many people are so disconnected from somebody seeing and knowing them, which is a big part of why the author of Hebrews is writing to them. That's one of the warnings there. They're just not connected.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not connected to people, the things in your life, you have things in your life that the Holy Spirit is working on and they need to be worked out. And so do I.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get to a place where I feel like I can open God's word and I don't need anybody to tell me what to do, I've set myself up for very dangerous things to happen physically and spiritually in my life because of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I've known enough guys who have made horrific decisions in their family lives, in their ministry lives, but it's been a part of God drawing him back to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is that people are disconnected from community, which I would say it's not just a warning to pastors.
Oh, it's a warning to everybody.
Yeah.
Anybody who professes a love for Christ or to walk with him. Yeah. But, you know, the thing that's, you know, I have a friend named Kenny who says, well, you may know, you know, Kenny Luck out in California, but do you know Kenny?
I know that name, yeah.
All right. Kenny says isolation kills, connection conquers.
Yeah.
And the reason is we all need a wingman. We all need a battle buddy, you know, and I believe one of the things, in fact, I was talking to my wife earlier today, and we were just talking about how people are saying, I'm so lonely right now. Mm-hmm. Depression right now because of COVID and the lack of assembling of believers to encourage and be around each other has really been detrimental to, I think, the church as a whole, you know?
Yeah, Joby said the other day, I can't remember if it was his sermon from this last Sunday, or he recorded a sermon on Tuesday for Biltmore Baptist in Asheville. So in one of those two sermons, I'm getting a lot of sermons from Joby right now, he said, gross things grow in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And that phrase, I don't know, will ever leave me. What is it that I'm hiding that I don't have in community to talk? Here's the thing. If we're all sinners saved by grace, there's nothing in your life that's going to throw me off.
Mm-hmm. That's because right. Because we're all broken, right?
And I needed grace for my sin. I need grace every day for my sin. So you don't have anything in your life that's going to intimidate me or push me away. So how about let's walk through the grace we both have and we both need to experience the hope and the healing that is there for us?
Well, that's like in Hebrews 4:16. I said the other day at SWAT, when it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help. What? In time of need.
Yeah.
Well, when do we need him?
Yeah.
When we blow it. Yeah. See, that's what so many. I told a guy this today. I said, you know, our failing doesn't mean we're failures.
Yeah.
But failing is what God used, like you just said in John Chris' life, to bring him back. I really believe that.
Yeah.
Now, but there are people that it drives them away. Why?
Yeah.
Because they wallow in self-pity, and they, I've actually had guys tell me, and you may have had this too, they say, you know what, what I've done is unredeemable.
Yeah.
And nothing is unredeemable.
Yeah. But that's hard in that moment. You feel like there's no recovery from this. Like I've tanked the plane into the side of the mountain. Well, there is no coming back. And that's why it's so important that you have community before it gets bad.
Yeah.
You can't see through the fog sometimes. Sometimes the birds hit the engine, right?
Yeah.
As your story.
Yeah, or the person. They hit you and they incapacitate you, you know, and you sit there and you're stunned.
Yeah.
And that's why you're right. It is so important to have somebody to be able to say, you know what?
Yeah.
You're going to get through this.
Yeah.
We'll get through this together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want to go to your book, Why Manhood Journey, right? Yeah. Didn't you write that book?
No, Kent Evans wrote the book.
Okay.
And Kent Evans, I connected him to you. I think he was on the show a while back. Now, I helped Kent with some of the book.
Okay, okay. Because I know that you were associated with it.
Yes.
But we're all about manhood. We're all about guns, and we're all about hunting and you know, going out there and doing manly things. Yeah. In fact, there's a book. You know this guy who wrote this Manly Things book? It's yellow. Have you ever seen the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I can't think of the guy's name. I'll get it on the break. But I think we've lost some of that in our culture.
Yeah.
I think we've lost some of, because you've even got the United Nations now tweeting about patriarchy and the problems with patriarchy as if it's bad to have masculinity, and you hear toxic masculinity. Yeah. And isn't that all through the Bible that we are to be men? When Paul says, act like men, isn't that what he's saying? Be the person God created you to be?
Yeah. There's so much of our culture that's tried to clean things up, sanitize things, instead of lean into them. Lean into, like, if you've got boys, lean into that. Like, it's funny to me, we have 4 kids, 1 on the way. Wyatt 7, Judah's 5, Scouts 3, Rivers is 20 months old. Judah, my 5-year-old, has more energy than the others combined. And it was like first kid at this school. There was a preschool.
Well, with a name like Judah, what do you expect? Right?
Judah Knox. I named him after John Knox. I wanted him to be a warrior.
Yeah.
You know, it's the selfish things. As a dad, I prayed, God, please give me an offensive lineman. And I think I got it in Judah. He's big. He's crazy. He's probably going to be a linebacker if he's that crazy. But he was the first kid kicked out of this preschool. He'd been going for 31 years. And it was he got outside. I had all these questions. You're kicking him out because somebody wasn't watching him? I mean, I was a little more angry.
Okay, so let me give you a little encouragement. I got kicked out of the nursery for biting other kids' ears. Okay? So that's a good sign. He's got some fight in him, right?
But, you know, our culture teaches you better rein that in instead of, that's part of how God made him. He's a little boy. He needs to get his energy out. And so I love to take Judah and just go do wild and crazy things with him because that's how God made his heart. And if we try and sanitize everything, man, you're going to miss out on so much of the beauty of how God created us to be. We're each different. We're each unique. My kids are so different. I have to discipline them differently. I have to spend special time with them differently, especially having one daughter. A scout has my heart already wrapped around her little finger. She is so different from those boys, and that's by God's design. Herschel York is the preaching professor at Southern Seminary, and he's the pastor of Buck Run Baptist Church. And he told me one time, he brings the little boys up on Sunday morning and he has them say, I'm a little boy. God made me to be a boy for his glory. And he has the little girls come up. I'm a little girl. God made me to be a girl for his glory. God made them different for a reason, by design. And we've lost that in a lot of this cultural debate today about sexual orientation and how we have to celebrate anyone being anyone they want to be.
Well, even if we don't go into the transgender, there's just a lot of unisex stuff to get away from godly roles. So, hey, we're going to come back and have more conversation with Trey Brunson. And you're listening to SWAT Radio. I want to give a quick shout out to all of our listeners up in Virginia who are listening on the Lighthouse up there and in Meridian, Mississippi on WMER. Thank you for listening. And folks up in Folkestone, Georgia, thank you for tuning in today. We will be right back after the news on the half hour. You're listening to SWAT Radio.
W-
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. An official for an Alabama county just east of Mobile Bay says that they have sustained tremendous damage there from the leftovers of Hurricane Sally. Meanwhile, the National Weather Service says several cities along the East Coast could have similar results, with heavy rains expected up to 8 inches in some areas. California Governor Gavin Newsom says at least 25 people have died in the recent wildfires, including 15 in the North Complex fire burning northeast of San Francisco. Meanwhile, smoke from the dozens of wildfires burning in western states is stretching clear across the country now, even pushing into Mexico, Canada, and parts of Europe. For the third straight day, federal prosecutors have announced criminal charges accusing Iranian nationals with conducting cyber attacks in the United States. On Wall Street right now, the Dow down about 90 points. This is SRN News.
I know.
Expect some delays because of an accident on Butler Boulevard westbound between Southside Boulevard and Belford Road. Also, there's a crash on the West Beltway 295 southbound at Pritchard Road on the west side. And there's another accident, I-10 eastbound at Lenox Avenue, blocking the left lane. Mostly cloudy tonight, expect a low 72. Friday, partly sunny, high 87.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, heard at 11:30 a.m. daily. Dr. Youngblood deals with current issues from a biblical worldview. Don't miss this broadcast, heard at 91.7 and also 100.3 FM. Let's Face the Issues is a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, in the Mandarin community.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary of His Light Ministries, and I have in the studio today Trey Brunson. Let me just tell you, you know, I just kind of got into conversation with Trey. Trey has been a pastor in Texas, Florida, California, as you've probably heard if you've heard anything. He is was the director of communications up at Southeast Christian up in Louisville, which is one of the largest churches in the country. It's crazy. Massive. He was executive producer for the film Run the Race. I want to talk about that just a second because I love the movie. Went to Dallas Baptist. My son went there for a year. And I think, was he there with you or were you after?
I think he was there right after I left.
Okay. And you were there with McIntyre, right? Y'all were there together. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Jake,
changed my life.
Yeah. Good or bad? Yeah,
depends on the day. Yeah.
Anyway, he was First Baptist in Dallas. Who was the pastor at First Baptist when you were there?
My dad.
Oh, he was? Okay. And then here, and then he planted a church in California,
in Burbank.
Which that had to be really interesting.
Oh, amazing. I look back. I love those guys. Matt was actually in town. I planted with a couple of guys. Matt was here 2-3 weeks ago. Man, it's a joy to think back on all God did in my heart, my life, how much he grew me in that season. Like I said, faith really grew in that season. You had to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
It was wild to be in an area that you know, you feel it, you sense it, dominated by the enemy.
Mm-hmm. And it is. It's like going to Russia. When I used to go to Russia, you'd get off the plane. Yeah. You could feel the darkness when you actually took a step off the plane.
Yeah, that spiritual warrior's peace.
Yeah.
It takes on a whole nother level when you're in a place like that, that it feels like it's occupied.
Man, it's like going into Vegas, too. Same thing. It's very, very similar to that. Well, and then he was up at Southern Seminary, and like we said, married to Rachel, 4 kids. And I want to talk about Run the Race, because that was an interesting story, because you were the executive producer.
Yeah.
How did the movie get in front of the Tebow's to be able to sponsor? Because weren't they the kind of, didn't they help make that thing possible?
One of the main funding partners. So Robbie and I were good friends. He was over Northeast Florida FCA back when I was on staff at First Baptist early on. And I'm trying to think, we were in a meeting one time and he was talking to me about the Gator Bowl breakfast. FCA used to host, I don't know if they still do, the Gator Bowl breakfast. And he was complaining how much it cost them. I mean, it was like their whole operating budget to do that one event. And I said, dude, bring it downtown to First Baptist. I will cut the cost out for you. We will do that thing for cheap, which selfishly I'm thinking I get to hang out with both of these college football teams. I'm a big football fan, but I got to help a friend out. And Robbie and I think it was for one of the Gator Bowl breakfasts, we were running over to Publix to grab something. And I just started telling him about this project that Jake and I had been praying about, dreaming about. And I said, do you got a couple minutes to look at something? Jake and I had made a concept trailer. It was like a 6-minute video of what it could look like if someone gave us the money to make the movie. And I showed it to Robbie in the parking lot in Riverside at that Publix.
Yeah.
He's watching this video. He starts crying. And he says, we got to show this to Tim. So Jake and I flew out to LA. This was, Tim was out there training. I forget. I think it was in between Denver and maybe New England or Denver and Philadelphia. I can't remember where he was training in between teams at that point in time. And we go into his office, his lawyer's office. We sit down at this table and Jake and I just pitched him. He starts crying, like hearing the story.
TiVo does, right?
Yeah.
Tim? Wow.
Yeah. And he said, if you guys can give me, you know, an hour and a half of that on film, I'm all in. God had also connected us to a guy named Bill Reeves. Bill Reeves is now the president of K-Love.
Okay.
But he had a company. I joke with Bill all the time. He sold the company, had working title agency, WTA Group, to K-Love, and then they hired him as president. I said, you sold your company to yourself? I mean, I don't know how you made that work, Bill. But
how'd you pull that one off?
So now he's the director of the board for his previous company while he's the president of K-Love.
Wow.
But they do all of the advertising promotions for faith-based films. The Kendrick brothers, the Irwin brothers, they work with them on all their films. When we connected with Tim and Bill Reeves, it was like lightning in a bottle. Like it just happened at that point in time. Bill brought the right people to the table and it was a prayer. Same thing, faith. It was a prayer that Jake and I had for 14, 15 years. Mm-hmm. God, you gave us this story. What do you want us to do with it? And there were several times that it was, if I do nothing with it, will you trust me that I called you to steward this story? Because we had people who offered us a lot of money to buy the story. We just never felt right. And God brought the right people to the table. And I think it's an unbelievably well shot. It's a beautiful film.
Oh, it's a great movie.
So many things that came together. So many people whose lives have been impacted. It's just, again, stories of you trust God, you follow him. It may not make sense. I'm here right now. I'm on staff at 1122. The way all that came together. Another story of faith, just trusting God, following God, and him doing what only he can do.
Yeah, he's just leading you around the country, man, to California, to Louisville, and back to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And growing your family at the same time, right?
I know. Yeah. Continuing to grow.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, you know, I was thinking about that film and how much, I mean, I know we had you and Jake on a couple of times to talk before and after, and it was really well done. And I never really knew how that you got the Tebow's involved. I knew you were somehow connected to it, but I just didn't know how you got them involved in that story. Yeah. So
if you have faith in Hollywood, they'll call you an executive producer. So that's how that translates. You can make stuff happen.
Well, you know, one of the things, another person that you and I have a connection to is Tommy Nelson.
Oh my goodness.
Tommy is up there in my top five of pastors. I just shepherds, because Tommy's never compromised. And I don't know if you remember this, back in 2000 for the election, right before the election, Tommy did something he's never done in all the years of pastoring. He preached a message about the political process and why it was so important
to vote. I remember.
And it was one of the sixth most influential factors in the whole country in the election.
Huh.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't, but I'm not surprised.
It went viral.
Yeah, everything's bigger in Texas.
It went viral. And we had him on after that and had him talking about why it was so important. I think this election, it's even more important for the same thing he said. Yeah. And, you know, I've had several Christians ask Trey about, well, why should we vote? You know, what, we just believe in the kingdom. We are, you know, I know what I think. I know what I believe about the whole process. But have you encountered that at Southeast? Did you encounter that up there? Because we live right now in a very tumultuous time politically. Yeah. There's a lot of political division, a lot of socioeconomic division, a lot of racial division, or I would say ethnic division.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you seeing that handled? And weigh in on that, because you and I both know Tommy, and Tommy doesn't pull any punches, man.
Yeah. Man, there are fewer people that I could think of in my life who've meant more to me than my dad and Tommy Nelson. I always get asked, you know, who are your, you know, heroes? Who are your mentors? My dad and Tommy Nelson, two men who believe the Bible, teach the Bible, given their life to the Bible, and they're faithful.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't worry that I'm going to wake up tomorrow and hear that Tommy Nelson had an affair, or that Mac Brunson, you know, has squandered money from the church somehow. Like, I know that those are men who believe it and they live it. And it's given me a pretty high standard of, I want to make sure that my life is lived for the Word of God, under the Word of God. So,
And I'm going to throw Johnny Mack in there too, because he's
standing up.
He's doing a pretty big thing too.
Yeah.
But you know what? With Tommy, like, you going back to what you said, he believes that God's Word reigns supreme over everything. Like your dad, Tommy, John MacArthur and stuff.
Yeah.
And we live in a time where we're not seeing that much. People are compromising.
Yeah.
So why should people vote now?
Yeah, well, I have been blessed the last 2 weeks to listen to the briefing. I listen to Al Mohler's briefing every morning. I mean, it's how I put it on, set it on top of the little ledge, the shower at the place we're staying right now. And I listen to that while I take a shower every morning. And Mohler has gotten to one of the things he mentioned last week, the appointment of judges, how important it is, the appointment of judges. And, you know, I love people on both sides of this, Republicans, Democrats. I love people. If you are a follower of Jesus, you should have a heart for people, no matter their sexual preference, no matter their political preference. You should love people, partly because we believe that the gospel changes everyone.
Yeah.
And you have no clue who's going to be a Saul that becomes a Paul. So I think I got that level of faith drilled into me from friends I've seen change. Yeah. But Mohler talked about how you see in the last couple of weeks, Trump has given a list of the people that he would appoint, actual names of people that he would appoint to be judges, and in the spectrum of judges, not just Supreme Court judges, but judges across the board that he can appoint. Mohler pointed out, and I thought this was interesting, he said that Biden has not given a list of names, he's given a description. I'm going to appoint an African-American woman, which is part of this is that identity politics that you are playing to who it could be, but you can't tell us who it is. I think that says something that I'm worried about. Who would you appoint? That these are the people who are going to make the major decisions for our country, for our world. I'm concerned that you're giving me a description, but you can't give me a name. Mohler pointed out that tells you something about this person. Your vote this coming election will determine where things go, just in who are our Supreme Court justices going to be. There's a lot of them that are going to be replaced in the next 4 years.
And not to mention the other positions, the appellate courts and the district courts. That's probably one of the most influential thing a president does.
Yes.
Is to appoint those judges.
And I don't know that most people think about how important that is. But I have been blown away by how much Trump stuck to his word on who he would appoint into those positions. The men that are there now, pretty encouraging.
Well, it is, and I think it is making a difference. You know, one of the things that John MacArthur brought up in a sermon last week, and we got to go to our last break, but we'll come back to this, and I want you to weigh in on this too, is used to have to be a believer to hold office.
Yeah.
Now, the leaders in our country, we don't just have leaders who aren't believers. They are hostile to Christianity.
Yeah.
And they're passing laws like in California that actually lessen the offense for people that are pedophilia or pedophiles.
I mean, 10-year.
The pedophiles and they're doing stuff like that. And I think God throughout Scripture has not done very well with nations that do those kind of things.
Yeah.
And so when we come back, I want to kind of drill into that a little bit, and we'll hear a little bit more about what else God's doing in Trey Brunson's life, okay?
Come on.
Hey, you're listening to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary. I have Trey Brunson from the Church of 1122, the multi-site pastor. We'll be right back with the last segment on SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com. Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. We are back on SWAT Radio. That was David Crowder, and All My Hope. I hope yours is like his in Jesus. No other place to be. You know, Trey, we were just talking before we went to the break about this idea of, I think it's just the idea of countries being accountable, leaders being accountable. I think we live in a time where people think they can just choose to do whatever they want to do independent of God and his created order.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And what Johnny Mack said last week, which I think is true, is if the Bible is full of examples of how God wiped out nations who did abhorrent things.
Mm-hmm.
And as the church... universal. I think we've been swept up into a lot of this cultural stuff to where we resemble the culture more than we impact. Not every church, but as a whole. And I think this is a very important time for Christians to stand. Would you agree?
Yeah. Do you know who Leonard Ravenhill is?
Oh, yeah. I've known him for a long time. I've read. He's an old dead guy. I call him the old dead guy.
But he's an old dead guy whose words are just as relevant today as they ever have been. He did a radio show, ironically, back, I'd say it had to be the late 80s, early 90s, where someone asked him the question, is America too young to die? Mm-hmm. Now, as a new believer, I had a friend who gave this on a CD to me to listen to. And I remember then thinking, we have such a short view of history that nations have risen and fallen. They're not there. Empires gone that weren't there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we be potentially on that list? It's a scary thing. I mean, Jonathan Edwards, author of Hebrews, scary thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Oh, my gosh.
God, at some point, will remove his hand of blessing and grace and allow you to have. I mean, that's turn you over. That's a scary phrase, you know, where they say, we're going to turn this person over to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary thing. And I think we have benefited from the faith of our forefathers in a lot of ways that I keep praying, and I have hope. I'm an optimist. You know, I have a friend that did a personality test with me a couple weeks back, and on the scale of like criticality or optimism, I'm a 9.5 on the optimism side, like almost off the charts. I have hope because I look at my kids. I look at the next generation, high schoolers, college age kids that I know right now. I think there's a hunger for the Lord. I was on a phone call with a guy who is at the church in Burbank on Monday, and he told me, he said in his prayer time, he really feels like the Lord has been telling him there's a revival coming. I pray that's true. Mm. And I believe that there's a generation who's going to rise up, and they're going to just, let's just address the logical nature of what's insane in our culture, that you think you can just say you are this or you aren't that, like that you deny what has been historic, scientific, genetic. Like I think there's going to be a generation that's going to grow up and say, what made you think this is okay? What made you think, Netflix, it's okay to put a special out encouraging pedophilia? What makes you think that this is okay to go against what has been historic norms everywhere?
There's a price for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And see, here's the thing. I really believe young people are hungry to say those things and have men teach their young men and women teach the young women the truth.
Yeah.
Not some, they want authenticity, you know? Yeah. And speaking of Ravenhill, he one of the favorite books was Why Revival Tarries. And I remember, you know, one of the quotes that I remember from him is, you know, when a man is intimate with God, he's not intimidated by any man.
Yeah, he was not intimidated by any man.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no. And I was thinking back to what you said earlier in the first part of our program is, why should you be intimidated to go and ask anybody anything if you think you're doing what God might want you to do?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're, if I mean, people, the greatest preacher in the world is the servant of the Most High God. And guess what? You are too.
Yeah.
If you're his, right?
Yeah.
So to go up to somebody, now, you and I both know, because we've been around a lot of conferences, that there are some people who believe, there are some who they're blindsided or they're blinded sometimes to think that they are they're not just the instrument, but they're the author.
Yeah.
And God has a way of dealing with that.
Oh,
and
he's
done it over and over and over. And that scares me, and I know it probably scares you because you've seen it happen a lot.
Yeah.
And my wife told me a long time ago, Doug, those are warning signs. Yeah. Every time you see that, John Chris, just to mention him and others, they're warning signs that like the road is, you know, the road's out up here. Yeah. You don't want to keep going down this road.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we got enough examples of how to blow out. One of the last things I did for my dad, he's doing that daily devotional. I got this in my, you know, you and I, we both love reading the Bible in the morning. It's been a blessing to me to read through the Bible every year for the last 8 or 9 years.
Isn't that awesome? Anyway, just tell people that real quick.
Yeah.
Because I was with a guy the other day who was struggling to think that it was, he's 70.
Yeah.
And he was thinking, I don't have time to spend that much time reading. How long does it take you to read through the Bible in a year?
15, maybe 30 minutes in the morning. Now, and I would say 30 because I'd like highlight. I mean, I got a whole system down. Tommy Nelson actually told me a few years ago, he said, you should read through a Bible every year. Buy one in December, read through it that next year, and give it away as a Christmas gift to a guy you're discipling. So I started a few years ago. I was doing that. I was giving them out like the first few years.
What
to guys
a great
I was
idea, man. That's right. He did say that, didn't he? And so do you highlight all through it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can see, man, I got notes all in here. If I preach sermons, all that's in here. I print out, like, here's a list of the kings in the Old Testament. So I started a few years ago setting the Bibles aside for my kids when they turn 18 to give them when they go to college or whatever.
What a great idea. Now, tell everybody that again, in case they just caught that.
So this Bible I'm reading right now, this year, I will give to Scout, my daughter, when she turns 18. So I've been doing this. I've got one for Wyatt, one for Judah, one for Rivers. Rivers' middle name is Haddon. And so I was reading through a Spurgeon Bible last year. And so I came back around to Scout, got a little more girly of a Bible for her. And for the baby that Rachel's pregnant with, I'll read one next year for that baby, and I'll set it aside for them to have when they turn 18.
That's a great idea. I really like that.
But the last thing, my dad asked me to do this devotional. He does these mornings with Mac. And I just began to notice, and you may have seen this, I may be an idiot, and this first time it jumped off the page of me, the last from 2 Samuel 11 until the end of the chapter, it's five blowouts in the life of David. And then he dies. I mean, you've got Bathsheba, his sexual sin. Then you get to Tamar and his son, where he's neglecting his responsibilities. And then you turn and it's Absalom. He's got this enemy in his life, someone who's opposing him. Then you get into Ziba, and you get into the giants that are still in the land and all of these professional problems that he has. All the way at the end, you come up to, in chapter 24, his personal sin that he hasn't addressed. Like there are a ton of ways you can blow out your life spiritually. And it seems like more and more people are doing that. For one, we talked about earlier, not having people in your life, but not having the word in your life. And that's been the thing. I just feel like for whatever reason, those five things, that message, five, I call them five problems, pitfalls, and painful realities every Christian faces.
Wow.
They're that's all good. Because David got away from his time with the Lord, his time in the word. And
he was a man who loved God.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not somebody who was a superficial believer.
No.
But I, you know what? One of the most striking things about David's life to me is when it says right before he fell with Bathsheba, yeah. It says, at the time where kings go to war, he wasn't at war. Mm-mm. He was sitting back where he wasn't with his men.
Yeah.
He was back. Yeah. All of his buddies, all of the mighty men were out there doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And
so
he
was. Bring all this back around to Ravenhill? I've been to his house. I've been to where his grave is. I've been to his house. Yeah, out in Tyler, Texas. There are grooves in the floor from where this guy would get out of his bed and pray every day. Like the wood in the floor is warped from where he would pray. You know, he can make a statement like that. Because he was with the Lord, and he wasn't afraid, wasn't intimidated. I feel like, you know, MacArthur and a lot of these guys, what they're saying right now is, hey, Christian, spend time with the Lord. When you spend time with the Lord, you're not afraid of what's happening around you. I've heard Tommy Nelson say this 1,000 times. If you got a Bible, you can go in a cave and come out 10 years later, and you can tell us exactly where culture is, because the scriptures are going to show us, they're going to teach us.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
In thousands of years, we're still dealing with the same stuff. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
You want to get healthy? You start eating healthier things. You start getting healthy habits in your life. Spiritually, you want to get healthy? Get in the Word. Get with the people of God, start praying. And you know what? You're going to start doing things by faith. Mm-hmm. Your life is going to change because you are with the Lord and you have this encouraging, bubbling up faith. The Holy Spirit inside of you bubbling up. I loved it. Saturated last week. I heard this over and over and over again. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Yeah.
The power that resurrected Jesus from the grave is inside of you, is inside of me. What can happen? I don't know, but I, if we started believing that, I think it would be wild what we would see happen.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy the other day. I said, this is the, you know, a lot of, sometimes our praise songs were like, Lord, pour more of your spirit down. We have all of his spirit in us.
Yeah.
The problem is we don't yield to it.
Yeah.
We don't yield our flesh to his spirit and ask him, fill me. Yeah. How do we get filled? You spend time in his word and you spend time in his presence.
Yeah.
And Tozier did it.
Yeah.
Ravenhill did it. Yeah. These men used to prone out 7 hours a day. And man, I can't believe it. We're already out of time, man. Yeah. Isn't that hard to believe?
That's what happens when I'm with you. We just get going and man, the time flies.
Well, that means you're going to have to come back. Okay.
Anytime.
Hey, listen, if you want to listen to this or any past program, go to SWATradio.com. That's www.SWATradio.com. And click on the past programs or just scroll down and you can see them all there. You can listen to this program or any of the past ones. We're going to be back tomorrow, kind of again going over a little review of Hebrews as we get ready to go into what is an apostate next week. Trey, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for
blessings
me.
To you and Rachel. And I'm so glad you're here. And we will be spending time together, brother, okay?
I'm pumped.
Okay.
I'm pumped.
Hey, thanks for listening. We will be back tomorrow on SWAT Radio. I hope you have a good Thursday, and we will see you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety,
then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual...
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia.